Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you can join us this day, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a wonderful, filling meal with great food and great times with family. Today we're going to be reflecting upon Jesus' story of the sheep and the goats, just to give you a primer for what's coming later. But I invite you to stand as we begin our service. We begin, as we always do, remembering who it is that we belong to, whose name has been placed in us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come here to sing your praises, to worship you, and mostly to be filled by you. We pray that you would guide us with your word. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sons of men. Good morning. I'm Kevin Chegg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 and 5 through 15. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading is also from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, I truly tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, boys and girls. Let's try that again. I like a good, solid good morning in response. Let's see what you can do. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
There we go. I like it. All right. Well, in the first reading for today, Jesus has his disciples, and he sends them out. He gives them authority to be able to do some amazing stuff to heal people and to share the good news concerning that the kingdom of God is nearby, is at hand. Now, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to picture something for a moment. This might be a little bit tricky, so I want you to picture something that hasn't happened yet. I want you to picture when you're 18 years old. All right, that might be a long time from now, might be a little bit closer. But you're a young adult. All right, and God comes to you and says, I want you to go off with one other person and to go share the good news about Jesus. All right, you can open your eyes. Raise your hand if you think that would be an easy thing to do. No? No? Anybody out there? What do you think if you felt like God was saying, I want you to go to some place you've never been before and go tell the good news about Jesus, how might you feel?
Happy.
You'd be happy because, you know, God's telling you to do something? Okay. How else might you feel? Anxious because you've never been there before. Yeah. Any other thoughts? How you might feel if you felt like God was saying, I want you to go do this difficult thing? Would you be scared, if you're honest? Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about it, though, what I'm trying to emphasize, that sometimes in life, you know, God does call us to difficult things. It might not be to go out to a place you've never been before, but there are other things that God says, I want you to follow me. I want you to go where I lead you to go, and I want you to do the things that I call you to do. And it's not always easy. But who does God give us to help us with that? He gives us love. He does love us, yes. But who does God give us to help us? Okay, well, Jesus. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, yes. But who else? A different person of the triune God is what I'm going for here. That's enough setup. Raise your hand if you've heard of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, so I'm talking about, he sends us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does many things for us. He creates faith in us so that we could know about Jesus. And as well, the Holy Spirit helps encourage us, helps us to know what God wants us to do and to do it. And he guides us. Is that pretty cool? And so something where God calls us to difficult things sometimes, but he also doesn't just say, okay, go do it. Goodbye. Good luck. No, he also gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to do the difficult things that he wants us to do. And that's pretty awesome. So go ahead and fold your hands and repeat after me. Dear God,
thank you
for calling me to be your own.
Thank you
for sending me the Holy Spirit to help me in life. Amen. All right, if you would like to go to little worship, you can go out that direction. Oh, there's the cross. Go to the cross. Follow the cross. That's just a good thing in life. But follow the cross to little worship. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So our story for today is perhaps one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. There's a lot of well-known ones, but a lot of people are aware of the story of the sheep and the goats. Again, this is something that comes right after the disciples and Jesus. They had been in the temple, and Jesus had been teaching in the temple. He said a lot of truths that a lot of the religious leaders didn't like, and they're leaving, and the disciples are like, wow, Jesus, look at how awesome the temple and the temple buildings are. Aren't they awesome? And Jesus is like, well, I got to tell you, it's going to happen that not one stone is going to be left on another. And disciples are kind of like, whoa, what's he talking about here? And so when they get off by themselves, they ask Jesus, well, when is this going to happen? And what's going to be the sign of your coming? And so Jesus answers those questions. First, he talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of the temple and all that. And then he talks about concerning when the Son of Man will return. Nobody knows, aside from the Father in heaven. And then he goes on to talk about how that'll be. And then you have a series of stories, a couple of them parables, in which Jesus kind of is talking about, well, what about in the meantime? You know, what is it that his disciples, those who are following him, should be mindful of from the time when Jesus ascends, though they don't know that's going to happen, until he returns? And so he told first about the 10 virgins and the 5 wise and the 5 foolish ones. And Pastor Bob talked about that 2 weeks ago and how in many ways taking from that we are to hold on to the faith that God has given us. And if we are wise, we participate in things that help us to retain that faith. You know, we attend church regularly, we pray, we read our Bible, we do those things that are preparing for ultimately what's going to happen at the end when Christ returns. And last week I talked about with the parable of the talents, the bags of gold, how it is that we are to take what God has given us and steward it well, and as well to use it for his glory, to use it to go and share with other people the good news and to help them to know the love of God. And so you have this story now, and of course, the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear this story of Jesus is something that when I served as a DCE, every VBS we always did, I just want to be a sheep. Raise your hand if you've heard, I just want to be a sheep. I'm going to sing it for you because I like doing it. Something like this. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. And I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. Because again, you want to be a sheep, you want to be on the right side, you want to be going to heaven, that's good. You don't want to be a goat. There's actually a whole verse about that. I don't want to be a goat, nope. I don't want to be a goat, nope. Because they got no hope, nope. I don't want to be a goat, nope. You get where that's going, okay. Thanks. Okay. But so it's something where, you know, you hear this story and it's very clear. Okay, I want to be a sheep. And how do you be a sheep? Well, it's by what you do for other people, and that's ultimately what gets you to heaven, right? That's the big takeaway of the Bible, right? Wait, no. I mean, again, thinking about the whole message 2 weeks ago, how it is that it's the faith in Jesus that gets you to where you want to go in the end. And as well, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as well, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So how do we reconcile what almost sounds like Jesus saying, well, in the end of it all, really it's about what you do for other people. They're the ones who hear, you know, to you has been prepared these things. Well, let me read this again. Let's see what your ears notice. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. And he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did any of that happen? And the king will say to them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. And it all really hinges on that, my brothers. Who is it that Jesus calls his brothers? In other words, there's a lot of people that Jesus healed of their infirmities. And as you look in the Gospels, not one of them is say, my brother, I'm going to heal you. That's not how it played out. He healed them. But who is it that he referred to as his brothers? And for that, I look back at Matthew chapter 12. So while Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So who is it that was cared for in the story by Jesus? As he's talking to the sheep, he says, I was hungry, you gave me food. And he says, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. You see, the truth that's embedded in there, what isn't as overtly stated but is the reality, is that the disciples of Jesus are his brothers. And the disciples are the ones who are charged later on when Jesus says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. They're the ones who went out and proclaimed the good news. Just like Jesus charged them in our first reading to go out and say, the kingdom of God is at hand. These are the ones who went out and told the good news concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is God who took on flesh and dwelt among us. And as people heard this message, if they rejected this message, who among those who rejected this message would care for the ones who gave that message? In other words, if somebody came with the good news to you, and you said, I don't believe this truth that you've said. I think it's a lie. And then you find out that that person who tried to share that news with you is sick. Are you going to go visit someone who's sick who gave you a message that you didn't believe? No. Or if that person gets thrown into prison, if you don't believe that message, are you going to go and visit that individual? No. But if someone tells you, this is the truth about God, you need to know this. And in knowing this, you will have life and salvation. And the person who gave you that good news, who shared that truth with you, gets thrown in prison. How might you respond? Or if that person suddenly found themselves without any clothes or any food, if they brought you that good news and you received it with joy and you responded in faith, of course, you're going to be like, wow, you have no clothes whatsoever. Here, let me go over to Target and buy you something, anything. Let me take some of my leftovers from Thanksgiving, give you something at least to get you on to the next place that God's guiding you to go. You see, in all of this, the thing that's happening that Jesus is describing is that those who are on his right, who are described as sheep, who are going to the place prepared for them, they're the ones who heard the truth concerning Jesus. They responded in faith. And in that response, as things played out for those who were the bearers of the good news, they responded further on with the acts that they did that Jesus described. Hopefully I'm articulating myself well. In other words, how it is that you get to heaven hasn't changed suddenly. It's not because you're perfectly caring for the sick and the needy. Other parts in the Bible do say to do that, just to be clear. But this story that Jesus is illustrating concerning what do you need to know about how things are going to be between now and the end, you need to know that the Son of Man is coming back, and you need to know that what matters is that you truly had faith. And if you truly have faith in the message, this is the type of things that you will do as one who has received that truth and responds to that truth. But to those who hear the truth concerning Jesus and do not respond in faith, they don't do those things that are the fruit of that faith. And so my question for you today is, where are you in this story of Jesus? I just want to be a sheep, right? And to some degree, yes. I imagine all of you are sitting here because someone has passed on the faith to you. We talked about that on All Saints Day, the children's message that Lauren did, really emphasized and highlighted. There were people that came forward saying, these people shared the faith with me. And so, yes, on the one hand, all of you are sheep. Because down from the original disciples all the way down to present day, you have heard the good news concerning Jesus and you believe. You believe the ones who shared that news with you. But also, you are the brothers and sisters that Jesus was talking about. Which also means you have another responsibility, do you not? Not just to care for those who shared the good news with you with joy as the story says, but you are also those who are to turn and go and share the good news with other people. For God has given you this same charge, that you too might go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, he is with you to the very end of the age. And so part of what I think this story illustrates of what is it that Jesus' disciples are to do in the meantime is to not be afraid. To not be afraid to go out and say what needs to be said to those who are hurting. To those who do not yet know the truth concerning the love of God for them. You shouldn't be worried about what might happen to you if you're following where God is leading you. It might be that you get thrown in prison, or that you are sick, or that you're without clothes, you're without food, whatever those things might be, and that might sound dismal. You might say, why bother? And you do it because you're called. You do it because you are a disciple of Jesus. You are his brothers and his sisters. And that's what part of being a disciple is. Is following where it is that God is guiding you to go and share the news that only you can share in that way. The news doesn't really change, honestly. It's the same thing that Jesus took on flesh and dwelt among us. And that because of his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection, all of creation is reconciled to God. And yet the truth of how specifically it is that God has been at work in each and every single one of your lives is different. Your story, your personal encounters with God are different. Which also means you are perfectly situated to reach out to the people that you come across. Be it the people you work with, be it the people that you live nearby. So the question you might be asking yourself then, or at least where I want to go next, is how? How do we do this? How is it that we go out and share the good news? And first and foremost, I want to encourage you to believe the truth that you are called to go proclaim the good news. I think a lot of Christians get stuck right there and say, nope, that's for other people to do. Believe it. You are called to do this. Secondly, pray. Pray to God, Lord, I believe that you have called me to go and share the good news. I believe that you have gifted me in ways that only come from you for who I am. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open my eyes to see those who you are calling me to reach with this news. Help me to recognize who it is that might be open to this message, who you have placed me nearby that they might hear it. Help me to know what to say to them, when to say it. I really appreciate Jesus is talking to his disciples one time, and he says, you know, when you come before people, don't worry about knowing exactly what you have to say ahead of time. Because the Holy Spirit will guide you in those moments. Don't be afraid to share the truth that God has given you to share. If you are anxious about it, pray. Pray for his wisdom, pray for his guidance. And then go do it. Go where he leads you to go. And if it doesn't happen perfectly, that you, in that one conversation, suddenly everything you're hoping for happens, that's okay. I appreciate Paul one time is talking about to a church, I forget which one, probably Corinth, but regardless. He's talking about how it is that, you know, he played one small role in the faith that that church had. And it wasn't like he came and suddenly, boom, they're blossoming in faith. But he talked about how it is that he came and planted seeds and Apollos came and he watered that which Paul had set forth. But ultimately, it was God who made it grow. And so if you take nothing else from this sermon, I hope you hear this. that you can boldly go out and tell people the good news of what God has done in your life and what God has done for you and what God continues to do for you, knowing that it's not on you to do the heavy lifting of converting people, because you can't. That's God's job. We are called just to follow and do the part that he's given us to do, and to trust in faith that we do it. So this day I implore you, go home and pray. Go home and say, God, who is it that you have put into my life that I can go and tell a little glimmer of your truth to start, a little bit of what it is that you have done for me in my life, that they might be reached by your Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand as we profess our shared faith with the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Triune God, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear the opportunities that you put before us, that we might use the gifts you have given us, and that we might proclaim the message concerning you that you call us to share. Help us to be bold in proclaiming our faith and telling others about all that you have done and continue to do for us. Light our pathway for sharing the good news, that we would see it and walk in it. Heavenly Father, bless the homes of your people, that parents might train and instruct their children in the faith with wisdom and love. Help the children to listen to their parents, honoring their parents as you call them to. Guide the children to walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Father, we look forward to the new heaven and the new earth that you promise, the home of righteousness. Keep this hope alive in us as we contend with a multitude of afflictions under the curse of sin. Remember those in need of help and healing, including this day we remember Stephanie, Doris, Sherry, Terry, Joshua, Randy, Tony, Theo, Bessie, Carl, Don, Jim, Carol, Marissa, Casey, and those that we name in our hearts. Preserve them, deliver them from their sins, and grant them your peace amidst their tears. All these things we bring before you, Lord, and we are bold to pray as your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
We have no Sunday school or adult Bible class today, as is the practice following Thanksgiving. So just to give you that heads up. As well, there's the angel tree, the tree over there with gifts under it. Gifts need to be under that tree by next Sunday. So if you grab something to give, make sure to bring it by next Sunday. And then lastly, just a reminder that on Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. Denise Kasten talked about that last Sunday, and so there's an insert here that can answer some of your questions or can direct you with the QR code of how to participate in that. And if you have any questions, I'm sure Denise Kasten would be happy to answer anything. You just go talk to her. Otherwise, I pray you have a blessed week. God be with you.